Well, good morning. I hope so far this has been a blessed day for you. As we gather together today, I'd like for you to listen to the words of Psalm 28, verses 6 through 9. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise God. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. What a wonderful thing it is to know that God is our shepherd and is willing to guide us and lead us, protect us, and keep us safe through all that happens and all that's going on. What a blessed thing that is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer with thanks for what God has done for us by being our shepherd. Gracious Lord, we come to you with great thanks, because you are a God who has done an incredible thing. Our relationship with you because of sin was broken, and you could not allow it to stay that way. So what you did was provided a way for that relationship to be restored by sending your Son, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing that is, for he so willingly stepped away from heaven and came to live here in our presence in a way that would gather together those who feel called by you. Lord, he was so willing to teach, to heal, to share, to talk to us about what it means to walk the spiritual life. And we thank you for those who have maintained and preserved the scriptures through the years, that we can see the stories and have the understanding of what it means to walk as your children. For you truly have sent to us the Good Shepherd, who has sought us out and been a sacrifice for us, that we might have atonement for our sins. So Lord, thank you for Jesus' willingness to sacrifice for us, to die upon the cross, that we might truly have an open door, a bridge built to you, that we could have a deep and powerful relationship. And Lord, we do realize that we are sinners, and that it's only by grace that we have been saved. And what a wonderful thing that is. You have poured down upon us blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And one of the things that you have done is, as we have come to you and confessed our sins and repented of walking the wrong ways, you have forgiven us. And you have separated those sins far from us, that no longer are they something you see when you look upon us. We have been redeemed. We have been renewed. We have been restored. And you have placed the righteousness of Jesus Christ upon us. What a wonderful thing that is. Because now not only are we forgiven and cleansed of our sins, but you see us as your daughters and sons, your inheritors of the kingdom. Lord, thank you for trusting us to be part now with you in the creating of a new world, in the creating of building a kingdom. And you have trusted us to do that. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for those who have gone on before us to sacrifice and to set aside, that we might have resources and that we might have places that we can gather together. Right now, it's very hard for us to gather together, Lord, because of the pandemic that is happening everywhere. So we come to you and we ask that you would end this pandemic of COVID-19 and that it would be ended soon. And that as it is ended, that we would be able to gather back together as your people and give you praise and honor and glory for ending the pandemic. Lord, there are a great number of people that are having to deal with this, not only in our country, but around the world. And we pray that you would bring wisdom and understanding to know how to bring healing and to get vaccinations out there and to set everything straight again, that your people might be able to gather without having to worry in any way about a pandemic. Lord, we also want to pray specifically for our country that it is having a difficult time right now. We're having a difficult time politically, spiritually, economically, and racially. And we ask for your healing of all of these things. We ask that you would give people your wisdom and that they might be willing to compromise, that they might be willing to sit down at the table and talk with one another and find out what the best way is for us to progress forward. We know that there's lots of hurt feelings and hard feelings. And we pray that you would heal and soften. We also want to come to you for those who have lost loved ones. And we want to ask, Lord, that you would just bring your peace and your comfort to those who have lost loved ones already. Whether it be in the past days or weeks or months or years, if their heart is still hurting and they're still missing, we pray, Lord, that you would bring comfort and peace and that folks would recognize it as coming from you. And Lord, we also know many folks who are dealing with other kinds of diseases and sicknesses and hurts and pains at this time. We pray that your healing hand would be upon all of them and that you would bring them back to full health, that they can walk in the ways that would give honor and glory to you, that they truly could be your people as you gather them together in one flock. And Lord, we pray that we could hear your voice more clearly, that we could respond to it more deeply, and that we truly could be the people that you need us to be in the midst of a hurting world right now. A world that needs to know your love. So guide us in ways to share that and to bring that about. Help us now as we pray Jesus' words, the words that he taught his disciples as an example prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is quite a wonderful thing what God has done for us and how God has prepared things for us. I want to share with you this morning a story that comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 43 through 51. Listen to these words. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? How can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What a wonderful story that comes from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry as he calls some to be disciples. Discipleship is something that you've heard me talk about many times. I believe that it is probably one of the things that the church needs to teach more, needs to share more, and needs to train people more in being disciples of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus starts this story out as getting ready to go to Galilee, and he finds Philip and he just tells him, follow me. Jesus' simple statement of follow me speaks more than salvation and eternal life. Jesus doesn't tell Philip, come to me that you might have salvation and eternal life. Although that's part of the process and that's part of what happens in the midst of what's going on for Philip. Jesus says, follow me. As I just listen to those words, that means there's so much more than coming forward, accepting Christ as your Savior, and just being able to say that you have salvation and eternal life. Jesus is speaking in a much deeper way and telling Philip that there's much more to come. And for you to experience that much more, you need to follow after me. You need to be part of what I'm doing. You need to understand how to walk in the midst of this world. You see, I think Jesus is talking about not just accepting him as a Savior, as the Messiah, as the one who brings eternal life and salvation, but he's also talking about discipleship. And for me, discipleship is key to the spiritual life. You've got to make a decision to be a disciple. For so many people, they believe that discipleship is maybe, it's for the few select who are called to be disciples. But I don't think that's true. I don't think that's the right thing that Jesus was trying to say. That I'm going to call some of you to be disciples, and others will just receive salvation and eternal life. You see, some of Jesus' last words found at the end of Matthew chapter 28 tells them to go and make disciples. In order to have a disciple, you need to have someone experience salvation and eternal life. But then there are steps after that. There's processes after that. There's learning. There's growth. There's understanding. There's taking steps upon a journey and a path that Jesus calls all of us to. As I've shared about discipleship through the years of my ministry, not only have some people said that they believe it's for a select few who are called to that, but I've also heard people say it's too hard, it's too difficult, it requires an awful lot. I hope you remember that Jesus did talk about that. And he did say at one point in time that anyone who puts their hand to the plow and then turns and looks the other way is not fit for the kingdom of God. You see, making a commitment to discipleship is important if you want to grow on the spiritual journey. Making a commitment to step forward into that kind of life is what Jesus is calling each and every one of us to. It is hard. It is difficult. It does require work. It does require time. So when people have told me that it is hard, that's true. But it's necessary. It's required of everyone who comes to Jesus Christ to work much harder to try to grow spiritually by making yourself available to what God wants in the midst of this world. You see, with both Philip and Nathanael, we see a commitment to experience a journey of spiritual growth by following Jesus. They're not willing just to know about him. They're going to walk with him. They're going to follow him. They're going to watch him teach. They're going to see him heal. They're going to see him produce miracles. And they realize that that is what they are being called to. And they're going to take the steps necessary to do that. And they make a very firm and deep commitment. We don't see Nathanael as one who is named again amongst those of Jesus. But some scholars think that maybe Nathanael also went by the name of Bartholomew. So we really don't know what happened. But these two, at this point, when Jesus calls them, they follow. They realize that there is something more than just knowing about Jesus and trusting Jesus to be their Savior. I truly believe it's a time for us in the midst of our country and the state that it's in right now that we should examine our lives to see if we have a deep commitment to follow Jesus. Not one that just says, I know him as my Savior, but a commitment that says, Jesus is my Lord. And because Jesus Christ is my Lord, I will follow, I will learn, I will take the necessary steps to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The very basic understanding of being a disciple is to be one who continues to learn. That's what the Greek word means, a learner. And that learning process never stops. For almost 40 years now, I have been trying to learn how to be a better disciple of Jesus Christ. My learning hasn't stopped. There's still more to learn. I try to apply myself and do what I can and look at my commitments and am I making a deeper commitment to follow Jesus Christ each and every day? Am I looking to see what Jesus is trying to teach me so that I can share that with others? Am I willing to take the time, as the Apostle Paul did, and help others to follow Jesus Christ? This past week, we studied Philippians chapter 1 for our Bible study for the week. And in that chapter, Paul has this dilemma that he's trying to solve. He says that he doesn't know whether he wants to live or die, because he realizes that if he lives, he can live for Christ and continue to grow and continue to help others. But if he dies, he gets to live in the very presence of Jesus Christ. And he says that that is more blessed. But then he makes the decision and deep commitment to say that I will continue to be a disciple of Jesus Christ here upon this earth. And part of that process of being a disciple is I will help other folks to be disciples also. He tells the people of the church of Philippi that he has made that commitment and that he will continue to be there for them and guide them and help them that they might grow spiritually. It is time for us to search our lives. What commitment have we made to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Remember, Jesus' commission is to make disciples, not just to bring people to the cross to receive salvation and eternal life, but also to teach them everything that Jesus taught us and that Jesus continues to teach us. I want to finish up with one last thing here, and that is, if we follow Jesus Christ as a disciple, it will mean that we often walk in places of difficulty in order to experience spiritual growth. There will be difficulties on this spiritual journey. But God wants to see that sanctification process happen within us. God wants to see, and God's desire is that we continue to know God in deeper and deeper ways. Sometimes that means we'll have to come to trust Jesus Christ more, that we will have to open our lives more, that we will have to set aside some of our desires so that we could interact with those who need Jesus Christ and those who need to grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ as disciples. So when you make a commitment to be a disciple, you're making a commitment not only to continue to be a learner, but also to be a teacher, also to reach out to others. It will be difficult. Jesus says more than once in the Gospels that it's going to happen that way. One, that people will not like us, and matter of fact, they'll even hate us, because we're seeking to help folks. We're seeking to help them to see what true life really is and what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. And so many people in the midst of our world want only what they want for themselves. Jesus is asking us and calling us to be disciples, just as he called Philip and Nathanael. And once Nathanael comes to understand who Jesus is, Jesus looks at him and says, "Have you believed only because I said I saw you under the tree before Philip called you? Because you follow me as a disciple, you will experience deeper things. You will see the angels ascend and descend upon the Son of Man. Isn't that what you want for your spiritual life? Do you not want to know God in deeper and richer ways? Do you not want to see the angels of God ascending and descending upon this earth to touch hearts? Do you not want to see the incredibleness that God has planned for you as you follow as a disciple? Yes, it will be hard. Yes, it will be difficult at times. But I can tell you from personal experience, the blessings have far outweighed any difficulty, any troubles, any problems that have happened on the spiritual journey. So I want to ask you to think this week. Are you just saved? Or are you committed to follow Jesus wherever he goes? Are you just saved and satisfied with that? Or are you desiring to know more about Jesus? And are you committed in such a way that you will follow wherever Jesus goes, even if it means through the darkest of places, to touch souls, to come to God? Let us pray. Lord, you have challenged us, and you have reached out to us to invite each and every one of us into a relationship with you as a disciple, as a learner, as a sharer, as one who goes out into the midst of this world and experiences you on the spiritual journey with all of the blessings and possibilities and riches that you have for us. As one who continues to seek and to hunt and to search ever deeper and deeper in the spiritual life. As one who wants to see others come to Christ, guiding them and helping them to understand it's not just salvation, but that's the beginning of the process that you expect to see happen within each and every person who comes to the kingdom of God to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, may we be able to not only call you our Savior, but that we can say that you are our Lord that we follow. And then help us to recognize and to see and to understand the incredible blessings that we experience on the spiritual journey and bring you great thanks for each one that we see. Lord, you're calling all of us, yes, to a difficult and a hard task, a task of being your disciple. May we make the firm commitment to do that every day we wake up, so that we might experience you more and that we might help others to have those same experiences in everything that we do. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for calling us to be disciples. May we be firm to that commitment, so that this world can be transformed by your very love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May this week be a week where God touches your heart so deeply and Christ opens the door so wide to discipleship that as the Holy Spirit nudges you, as the Holy Spirit touches you, that you may make the firm commitment every day to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, no matter how hard or how difficult it is. May the very love of God be with you. May the very patience and calmness of Jesus Christ be experienced in your life. And may the touch of the Holy Spirit inspire you to take a new step this week in discipleship. God's blessing on you this week.